Eric's mom got me, I think it's probably my ninth, at least my ninth pair of AirPods for Christmas. And I think I've again lost the right one already. I'm like,
oh no,
what is wrong with me? It's somewhere. I mean, sometimes, like if we sell this house, there's going to be like a thousand AirPods. Just people are going to be like, wow.
Hi, Joy. Nice to meet
Hello.
You.
All right, I'm gonna put my headphones in, see how that goes.
I was just saying, Eric's mom got me yet another pair of AirPods for Christmas, and I think I've already lost the right one, number 10. Are you good? Can you hear us and everything?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Or are you talking to me?
Yeah, we already did it. Did her check her audio. You'll be pleased. Joy does our editing and she'll be pleased. Your audio sounds great.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm glad I found these. Yeah. I tried it. I like recorded a few things. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of feedback without any sort of microphone.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Is it a snow day there?
It is a snowy day, but Ivy actually has school today. This is the first day she's had school in a few days.
Yeah. So our guest today does a lot of philanthropic work, including advocacy and support for adults and kids with disabilities and at-risk youth. Her husband and she, well, they began, you started building an amphitheater, or not on purpose. You started just with something for your outdoors, and your husband built an amphitheater in your backyard, and then you hosted a concert series at your home, and now you've moved that to your community. In Michigan, Caledonia, Michigan. Probably shouldn't say that. Maybe cut that.
At a 247 West Chesterfield Street.
Come on by. We'd love to have you.
He's an incredible hostess. You have a master's in social work, generally just an angelic human, mother to Ivy, stepmom to Lily. I'm sure I've missed a lot of things, but welcome, Des, Desiree, and Stauffer.
Full name out there. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Welcome. Or thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yes. Thank you for showing up. We, to let people listening in. So we're on the second snow day in Nashville, which is quite different than in Michigan, because I'm sure you guys are more prepared for it. We just completely shut down when there's like less than a millimeter of snow, but we actually have like 6 inches of snow. So they're shut down for 3 days. We're just going nowhere. Nothing's happening. And you showed up for us very last minute. We've been talking about having you on for quite some time, and we're really grateful that you're here.
Glad to be here. Yeah, we've got, I don't know if my camera will pick it up, but it's just white out there. It's snowing and blowing right now. And I think we had, I don't know, at least over 12 inches recently. So it's been a lot. We're used to it, but I don't love it. I don't love driving in it. I'd rather shut down.
Tell us how Lily's at college now, and tell us how old Ivy is again.
Yep. Lily's 18, freshman year at college, and then Ivy's 8 and in second grade.
Awesome.
10-year age gap between the two.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say that sounds similar. Mine are 8 years apart.
Oh, okay.
And so when Ava leaves for college, Penny will be Ava's age now, I think, which is wild to think about.
It is weird. It's almost like raising, you know, two only children.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel like
a little bit of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have, Joy and I both have similar spreads between our siblings and ourselves. And I mean, we've talked about it before, so we both like that a lot. Like it makes for like a different kind of friendship with your sibling more than like any competition kind of thing. Although I'm still competitive with my siblings. I can find that years,
they're still competitive. I mean, they'll play skip-o and games together. And yeah, Lily still wants to beat the little kid. And then Ivy's all bummed if she can't beat her big sister. They're still very much like, regular sisters that could be close in age, you know, in their behavior sometimes. But it's kind of a unique and fun thing to have them be such a different age. Lily's almost like a mini mom, which sometimes is so wonderful. Sometimes I think it can be hard for her, but it's really kind of a benefit for us parents.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, when she's being really helpful, it's irreplaceable. When she's being a mom, when I don't need her to be a mom, like she's intervening my momming to do her version of the momming. And I'm like, okay.
Do you experience that too, Des?
Yeah. Some of that to an extent. Some of it, I think Lily has, you know, just caught on to my type of parenting. And so she just kind of acts like a mini me. Often there's other times where I think that she adds in then that sister element of kind of being snotty and in charge and just be like, okay, but calm down. Like, you know, she's still just a kid, but she still has that teenage attitude in her perspective of Ivy's behavior. But for the most part, she really is just so great at being a mom to her good big sister.
That's awesome. How old was she when you guys got married?
7 when we got married. And then I actually adopted her. So technically her stepmom, but also really legally her mom now, adopted her when she was 10. So it's been 8 years now since the adoption. Her biological mom has never been in the picture, really, since I've been in the picture, sporadically when we were first married, but more just through legal battles.
Got it.
Yeah. Her presence.
I forgot that. And I'm sorry. I grew up with half siblings, but we never say half. So my bad for misspeaking that. And I knew, anyway. But I was thinking how, because she calls you Des, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When she talks about me, I think she
says mom.
At least sometimes used to refer to me as mom.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's just easier for her to be like, oh yeah, my mom, versus explaining who her biological mom is. But when she speaks to me, it's Des. When she speaks to me with Ivy, it's mom.
Yeah, but mom for all intents. You guys came to visit us a few months ago and Lily was at college and she called you. It was like at a time of day and a time of the week when, like when I was at college, I would have not been calling my parents for sure. And it's just really clear what an amazing relationship y'all have. So yeah, mom for all intents. So you had just finished, you did undergrad in psychology, then you went to school, you met Adam, and then you went to school for, or got to, went to grad school for social work. And right after that is when you had Ivy. And were you aware of what was going on with Ivy when you were pregnant? I mean, you guys knew that?
Yeah. I found out at our 20-week ultrasound, or shortly after, at the 20-week ultrasound, they found it's called a chiroid plexus cyst, which I was told is pretty common. It's kind of like a pimple that might form in the fluid part of the brain. Mm-hmm. We just needed extra ultrasounds to check up on that, make sure that it goes away like it usually does. And at that follow-up ultrasound, they discovered that the cyst had gone away, but Ivy's cerebellum, which is near her brainstem, it controls motor development, it was measuring smaller than the rest of her brain. So we continued to do extra ultrasounds and eventually an MRI while I was pregnant. And her cerebellum was growing, but was consistently smaller than the rest of the brain. And at the end of that MRI, with them like, well, it's growing. And we had decided, you know, to continue with the pregnancy. And when they had first discovered that, there was a lot of discussion of what this could mean for Ivy. They did offer an abortion. And they just really expected the pregnancy to not be viable. And if she did live to be born, she probably wouldn't live very long and her symptoms would be quite severe. So after checking it out over a period of a few months, they just kind of left it as, we'll just wait and see what happens. And so after she was born, they did a CT scan and again, it showed the same thing. Yep, the cerebellum's small, but everything else seems okay. So we'll just kind of see what happens. So I think that was a little bit difficult looking back now to know like how the cerebellum just has affected her motor abilities. You know, the smaller cerebellum has affected that. I wish we had been given more information or more resources because there was a lot of confusion on just getting her to feed and just kind of basic survival things that I think doctors just expected her not to be able to do. And so they didn't really set us up with a whole lot of help to ensure that she could do those things. So thankfully she is a fighter and figured it out in her own way to be able to feed and to kind of survive until we learned more about her diagnosis.
I would love to hear some about how you guys processed that together. Just the mental, emotional process of what that's like. I think a lot of parents during pregnancy, that is one of the biggest fears, is that I'm going to go in for an ultrasound and everything's not going to be what it typically is. And not just like the worry for your child, but the what's my response to this and how am I going to process this?
Yeah, I think it was really tragic at first. That first day when they let us know that her brain was forming abnormally, and it was just like a flood of information and questions, and none of it seemed good. So that was really quite devastating. It was, yeah, really just, okay, well, we're not going to have an abortion, but I have no idea then what the rest of this pregnancy is going to look like or how it's going to turn out. But we have a really strong faith, and that has been immensely helpful, and in just seeing God's hand over this whole situation. So at the time, I was volunteering with our special needs adult ministry at our church. And we had just started this program 2 years prior. And so I was one of the founding volunteers, and had really joined because I was in a social work program. And I thought, oh yeah, this will look excellent on my resume. But the same day that we had that appointment and found out about her brain abnormalities, that Friends at Peace, it was the name of the ministry, they had thrown me a baby shower. So it was a surprise, but I knew about it. I was like, they were telling me, you have to come, but it's a surprise. So just the timing of that, to have this group of special need adults and their families there celebrating Ivy. And I was just like a crying mess the whole time. And everyone thought, just because it was such a beautiful baby shower, it was a great experience. But afterwards, I got to speak with the volunteers and some of the parents, and had told them the news we had just received earlier that day with Ivy. And so I was just given this instant support group of parents that had went through the same situation. And some of them were parents to kids, you know, that were in their 40s or 50s at this point. And so their experience, you know, even back then with less technology or even less resources to help kids with disabilities, they just completely understood that, you know, kind of rejection from the medical community of, you know, oh, you can have an abortion, or just good luck sort of attitude. So that was extremely helpful and comforting, even just to be there with those kids and to see, okay, if my kid has special needs, here's a whole group of people that are a joy and, you know, and are functioning in life and happy about, you know, their abilities and disabilities, you know, in that functioning. So that was extremely helpful. And we have a really great just family support system. But I think too, I allowed myself to just kind of imagine, especially as the appointments lessened and they were like, let's just continue on, the rest of your pregnancy seems normal. I think I definitely allowed myself to just not really be in reality and accepting that my child would be different. There was kind of this hope that, oh, well, maybe it'll all just turn out fine. And there was quite a bit of that too after she was born, you know, with them just kind of sending us home and like, we'll just see what happens. And I had no idea, like, what does this mean? What is going to happen? And you hear from a lot of people, and I know people saying it to try to be comforting, but a lot of like, well, I know so-and-so that didn't do this until he was this age and he was totally fine. Or, you know, I knew this situation and they turned out totally fine. And so I really had convinced myself that, oh, okay, she's not meeting these milestones, but like, she'll catch up. It'll be totally normal. And it wasn't until, well, really, it wasn't until she was 2 years old and did almost die that I really changed my perspective. I would say probably for the first couple years, I really struggled in grieving just kind of the version of motherhood I thought I would have, you know, this child that I thought I would have. And because no one really knew what this disorder would look like for Ivy and how she would turn out, then I began to tell myself a lot of narratives of like, she's never going to call me mom. She's probably going to die before she's five. She's just all of these fears I allowed to like, just kind of make me depressed for a while. Those first couple years, I was really hard for myself. And I think that I then really kind of hid all that was going on with Ivy. I really tried to present to people that like, it's normal. It'll turn out fine. When Ivy was two and ended up in the hospital, there were many then things came out of what was really going on with Ivy. And many people were like, I had no idea that she even had disabilities. And once I was able to really reflect and process, it was like, yeah, because I think I was just in denial that this was going to be my child and my life. And that was hard for Adam. I don't think that we processed it very well together in the beginning. Adam is the type that he sees a problem and he wants to fix it. And this was not a situation that he could fix. And me being sad about it was not something, you know, he couldn't fix the problem that I was having either. And so his family has a bit of a, you know, just figure it out and keep going type of attitude where I'm like, oh, I'm stuck here. I can't keep going. So we processed it very differently and not very well together at the beginning. It took a while to kind of navigate. How do we do this? And how do we, yeah, just hold up each other's emotions in a situation that we have no control in? It was difficult.
Yeah. How did that present that when she's an infant, what are you having to do that is different? What were her needs as a baby that you had to navigate through?
Yeah. So at the very beginning, when she was pregnant, when she was born, let me start that right at the beginning, when Ivy was first born, we had a lot of issues with her feeding, which is so funny now because she loves to eat. Food is her motivator in life.
A woman after my own heart.
That's what she has for Christmas. What do you have for Christmas? Food. Ooh. I feel like we created a monster a little bit in our, if we get to talking about that, the ways we motivated her to do different therapies. It was like, come here, like a dog with a treat, you know, come get your little puff. And now she just is like, where's my food if I'm going to be doing performances for you? But when she was an infant, she wasn't feeding well. And so that was really stressful. We had to do a lot of weight checks. And I just felt like I spent most of my time trying to get this kid to eat. And no one had really explained to me that because her cerebellum was small, she just didn't have the reflexes or, you know, like intuition to just feed. Like a lot of her, I would say all of her physical abilities have been like hand over hand teaching her how to do them. So feeding as an infant, she just didn't know how to suck and to swallow properly. So that was really stressful. And then once she kind of caught on to that, everything kind of seemed pretty normal for those first few months. But at 4 months old, she developed a really severe lazy eye that we eventually got checked out and then discovered, oh, there's more going on in her brain than just a small cerebellum. So then we learned she's got small optic nerves, which affect her vision, and she's got a pituitary gland that's dysfunctional. So there's a whole slew of hormones that her body needed. And then along with the small cerebellum, her pons is small, which is part of the brainstem that connects the cerebellum and the brainstem together. So all of these like midline issues. And so then that first year of her life was a lot of doctor's appointments and tests and medications and beginning therapies. And I mean, just like multiple doctor's appointments every week, just really trying to figure out what her diagnosis is. So it's just that first year kind of getting a whole team of specialists together to figure out the best way to navigate all of these different abnormalities that she had.
Hey, Mom Cult listeners. Hey, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Joy.
What are you thinking about eating this week, this season?
I'm hungry right now.
Yeah, of course.
I've been like planning, trying to pre-plan dinners. I met this mom who said to do that, and then I've been doing it. And so two nights a week, we do these like dinners, and then like two other nights a week, I'm cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to cook for dinner? And when I need to figure out what to do last minute, mm-hmm. there's a really good option really close to us.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to guess that it's Mr. Aaron's Goods.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And you can always use code MOMCULT for 20% off your purchase, which we should close with, but we're putting it here.
20% off? What?
That's a lot. That's like almost 50.
Might as well
carry the one.
Yeah. You want a free meal?
Tuesday through Friday.
9 to 2. They're open on Saturdays, 9 to noon, or until when they sell out. They are at TKO still, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
TKO in East Nashville. They have Gresh pasta, sauces, other specialty goods. They're family owned and operated. Awesome people.
Check them out at MrAaronsGoods.com. That's MrAaronsGoods.com. MRAARONS Goods.com.
I'm using code MOMCULT for 20% off. Gresh.
100% off.
Gresh.
100% off Gresh pasta.
This is so good. I hope you guys enjoy this. Wow.
It's so crazy to me. Did you, like, looking back, do you feel like life was kind of preparing you for this as far as you're involved, like what you got your degree in and your involvement with the group that you started?
Yeah, I think it took me a while to appreciate the way that God had prepared me for this life. I definitely struggled along with that, just depression of what, you know, I thought motherhood would be like, having to give up my career. I was the first in my bloodline to go to college, and took me a long time because I also worked and went to school part-time. So to have put in all of that effort and about to launch a career and have that just kind of taken away, I felt like, I was really kind of upset about that and wanted to just kind of get back to work. And so then with all the appointments, I think it just kind of added this whole layer of frustration. But now I can appreciate that, like, wow, all of this actually, you know, is very helpful for the motherhood that I'm navigating now with Ivy, and not just with Ivy, but with Lily. You know, Lily has childhood trauma from her early years and abandonment trauma that I deal the brunt with, being her replacement mom in a way. So I think that, yes, it has been very helpful to have already understood the systems, or even just ways to approach people when they've had different traumas. So that's been extremely helpful, especially navigating like the government systems with Ivy, having some social work patients and mm-hmm. even just knowledge of the different paperworks and processes has been helpful for sure.
It's crazy to hear the way that you felt then, because and I've heard pieces of that story, but seeing you now and having spent some time, just a, you know, microcosm of time with the three of you and how you carry everything and how Ivy thrives and is just the way that she emotes and everything, the way that she feels it, it is beautiful the way that you've handled it. And I mean, I don't know how that comes across. I never know the right thing to say, but I think that the way that you've handled this is badass. And I think the way she has handled it is badass. That's what I'm trying to say. She is a badass for sure.
Well, yeah. And she's a great motivator for me to stop. Like, what am I complaining about? You know, that this is not the version of motherhood I had. Like, I don't know what version of life she was planning for, but she's happy in the life that she has and she's thriving so much. And I know people attribute a lot of that to me, and I'm sure I play a big part in it, but a lot of that is her too. And just her wanting to have joy out of life and her looking at things in such a positive way. And she doesn't ever seem to feel down that mm-hmm. she can't do things. She'll just figure out a way to still be able to interact. And so she has been a great motivator of like, okay, she's the one who is really having to struggle with this every day. And she doesn't complain. She is happy to do it with joy and determination. And so, yeah, I just kind of have to suck it up and have some joy and determination too in watching her.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, what are your tools to kind of reset when you feel like you're start to lose it?
One of the whole it takes a village is such a true thing. I'm so thankful we have a huge village with family and with Ivy School. Like Ivy School, even from the very beginning, I don't know if you can hear that. It's my dog ringing the doorbell, wanting to go outside. even when Ivy was an infant, like we started, she actually became enrolled in the school system through like a early intervention program when she was 9 months old. And that first therapist was just a game changer for me. You know, while all the doctors were like, Ivy will never walk, she'll never talk, she'll never continue growing beyond a certain point, you know, mentally, this therapist was like, you know, what Ivy will determine what Ivy's going to do. And, you know, she's going to walk across that graduation stage one day. And, you know, she was just so positive. And even with when Ivy started throwing tantrums, she's like, this is excellent. Like now we know she knows she don't like that. And she is able to tell us. So everything she just worded so positively and was really encouraging and kind of this light in the darkness that I had. And the school system has still just been like that. You know, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, even at the beginning of the school year, like, how do we do this with homework? Like Ivy's too really likes things to be consistent and uniform. And so if I'm not doing things like her teacher is, then she's like, well, that's not done to do it with you because it's not correct. So her school is really great for me to be able to sit down with them like, okay, how do you do it? Because I'm losing it here at home. And they're just so encouraging. Even when I feel like I'm messing up, they're always telling me what a great job I'm doing and giving me any sort of tips and resources and any help that I need. So I think that they have been my biggest go-to of help me. You guys do this every day with a whole slew of kids. And I know I went to school for social work, but you went specializing in, you know, this special needs area. And so they're wonderful. They let me just text them whenever I need to. And they become like our family for sure.
She That's is in amazing. A school that integrates, it's everybody, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Cool.
And we have different, our elementaries are separated. Like there's an elementary that has the autism program and Ivy school has the cognitive impairment program. So, but it's, yeah, she is fully integrated into a gen ed class. And then she gets pulled out by her special ed teacher for different assessments and some learning differences that, you know, she might do math and things a little differently than the other kids do. But for the most part, she can handle being in a regular class and an aide just comes in to support her through a couple different subjects throughout the day. But her school too is just, they're so wonderful to integrate all the kids during the specials. And I just think that has been such a blessing. As a mom, you worry about, you know, how other kids are going to treat your kid that's different. And they absolutely adore her at her school. She is known by everybody. Everyone loves her. She loves everybody. And they do not, you know, they embrace her differences. They kind of love them a little bit. You know, she uses a app on a iPad to communicate and the kids just think like she's the coolest for having that. So
I bet.
It is really cool.
That's amazing.
I loved that she takes a picture of the person. So then she can, you know, hit that person when she's talking about that person. It's really cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's called the LAMP app, LAMP, language acquisition through motor planning. And she's been working towards that, you know, since she was an infant. We knew that she would have, because of the motor disabilities, she would have issues with speech. So we started with just like, here's a ball, point to a picture of a ball. And it's led now to this app and an iPad, and she's so quick with it. And we can add a new word even without a picture, and she'll just remember that's where that word goes. I feel like at some point she's going to have to be a little more concise with those names. We have like pages and pages of people, you know, and there might be like five Miss Sarahs, you know, so it's helpful for me to know exactly like, oh, that Miss Sarah, because I can see the picture. But I mean, how many, you know, Miss Sarahs is she going to meet in her life? That I guess if she wants to navigate page to get to a correct person. But I think at some point as she gets older, she'll consolidate into just.
That would be crazy to have every person that you, not that she puts every person she meets in there, but if you did.
She tries to.
Person, that's amazing.
And then there's times where it's like, this is just somebody we're meeting on vacation. Like we will never probably see them again. So I try to consolidate and delete sometimes, but she'll notice like, wait,
oh, she's not looking.
Where'd that person I met 5 years ago? Where'd they go?
It's like when I find a craft that's been sitting on a counter for like 3 months and I go to throw it away and all of a sudden Nate is like, what? I was using that. I'm like, no. It has not been touched. It's just sitting. It's just taking up space. I'll just wait till you're not here.
Parker's like that with the junk toys. Where's that like butterfly little ball maze thing that came in a Cracker Jack box?
Right. Yeah, that you haven't touched since we brought it home.
Yeah. but I see
it's missing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to, when you mentioned, you know, the fear of the outside world, I just didn't know if fear was, I don't know if you had a different relationship with it because you've already, you know, just out the gate entering into fear from the get-go.
Yeah. My relationship with fear, I would say yes and no, it's different, because of Ivy, but I think having an older daughter has definitely given me some insight and, you know, it's not just all on me. I messed up so much with Lily, you know, it's just looking at like such a young mom, you know, and I made a whole lot of mistakes. She's definitely been my teacher to teach me how to be a mom and she has turned out great. So, you know, it's not all due to me, but it's all of my faults didn't have, you know, as great of an impact as I was thinking or fearing that they would. So that's been helpful to know and to kind of see that it'll be okay, I think, in the end. But then there is, because Ivy has all of these extra needs, there is just kind of this pressure and expectation I put on myself of I need to try to give her all of the resources and help I can, like now. You know, there's kind of that fear that, oh, is it too late for speech? If I had done speech, you know, outpatient more intensely prior, would she be able to speak better now? You know, have I lost that opportunity? But also then I have to give myself that grace to know, okay, at that time there were bigger issues than speech that we were dealing with, and she is able to communicate in different ways. So it's I think the fear is still there that I'm just not going to do enough and she's going to be lacking in life because I wasn't quick enough on the ball or got her into all the right therapies at the right time. But there is a lot of trust in just knowing who Ivy is and that she's going to figure it out no matter what comes her way, whether it's bullying at school or, you know, just an inability to use her voice for speech and always having to use a communication device. It's just been so helpful in her development, her personality. Like, she is such a bold social person. So there isn't this kind of weight on everyone else to, you know, how do we get kids to know how to communicate with Ivy? Like, Ivy's just like, I'll show you, like, we're going to be friends and I'm going to teach you how to communicate with me or what I can and can't do. So she takes a lot of that on herself. And I just try to navigate and guide within the boundaries that, you know, she creates and falls into. But I think that, yeah, that fear is still constantly there of just, and I probably create more fear than what she has, you know, as I see her kind of being left out or not able to keep up with kids. I'm just like, oh, you know, my mom heart just breaks that she can't do what the other kids are doing. And I know she just wants to play with all the other kids, but she seems still happy enough to find a different, you know, way to play with someone else or to just kind of cheer on her friends as they do the things she can't. And, you know, she's not begging for more therapy. Like, well, I think maybe I should put you in more therapy so you can run around. And yeah. You know, she's really not all that interested in putting in all that effort.
Does she get frustrated? Does she communicate wishing she could do things other kids do? Or is she just content because this is the life that she's always known?
I think for the most part, she's pretty content. I have, as she's gotten older, tried to ask her, like, do you feel frustrated? You know, sometimes that you can't talk or you can't do things. And she's just like, meh. You know, she is so used to the you know, her form of communication, and she's pretty well understood by people using her device and her gestures, and she has a lot of facial expressions to get her point across. But interestingly, we did her last year in school, they had a guest speaker come, and he has cerebral palsy and had used a communication device since he was little. And he's 50 now. And so able to communicate just that isolation and frustration he felt before he could have clear communication with other people. And especially when Ivy was younger, I did see a lot of that frustration come out. Not that she could vocalize it, but there were a lot of behavior issues we had before she could communicate better. And there are times still even now where she's trying to say something and I'm like, I'm not fully grasping the full idea that she has or the full thought that she's trying to express. And so sometimes she just, like, you know, gives up. Or she is pretty good though at being persistent of, like, let me try to get as much communicated across to as I can. But I've never seen her just like, I guess, get sad or depressed about it. I think there's just sometimes she's frustrated when it's like, you're not getting what I'm trying to say. Physically, I don't really see her get frustrated about that. I think she kind of enjoys and almost like milks her disability to a little bit. Like she just don't want to put in that effort running around in gym class. So she's like, oh, can't do it.
Sorry, got a note today. Can't,
yeah.
Can't
or like outside. This is her first school year going without any assistive for walking. Like she used to use a walker and have AFOs or orthotics that she would wear in her feet. And so this is the first year where she's trying without the orthotics and no walker. So winter, everyone was a little bit nervous of how is she going to handle in winter. And so really she just doesn't, they don't force her to like hurry up and go outside. She takes her time in the lunchroom and might make it out to like walk back with the class. And then they do speech games during her second recess. So she loves that. She don't really like the cold. And because of her motor disabilities and it causes low muscle tone, like all of that exercise is, you know, it becomes painful for her quickly. And so I think she's just really kind of content to not have to put in all of that energy and effort. But she does do, she's in a dance class now and she does really enjoy trying to keep up with the kids for that. But I think it combines music and a group of friends. So she'll be like, oh, is it break time yet?
I was going to ask if any, if the things that you needed, like her physical therapy appointments, her school, did you, were all those kind of in your area or did you guys have to move or do you have to commute far to get to these places?
We are
in your village.
We are really lucky that, everything is pretty close by. Even the children's hospital here in Grand Rapids, it's, I don't know where it ranks, but it's a well-to-do children's hospital, ranked pretty highly. And it's real close, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes from us. So that, especially when she was younger and we were dealing with a lot of hormonal things that were greatly affecting her, it was really, really nice to have that so close. And then our school district right here where we live is excellent as well. I've heard from other people I've met just in different school districts nearby that are just not able to get the resources that ours have. So we're very lucky that she was just kind of born where we are. And we have all of these specialists and resources just right here. So very lucky with that.
Yeah, that's massive. The things you said about the public school system, they're pretty dramatically different than what, you know, you can hear out there. I feel like that's speaks highly of Michigan, pure Michigan. That's incredible. You've spoken about maybe wishing you had more guidance early on, but more generally, what do you wish, if there anything that you wish someone would have told you before you had kids, period? I mean, including Lily, is there anything that you wish you'd known?
Yeah, that question on your list of things to reflect on really stumped me. I think that took me the longest time to think, like, what do I wish people had told me? Because I think there's things too that people had told me that I maybe wish I had listened to. You know, even the things of, you know, oh, the days are long and the years are short type of, you know, oh, it's soak it in, it's going to go by. And it's like, it really does. Like to see Lily at 18 and be like, wait, but like, what about all those elementary years that I just, you know, was busy with my own life? I was young and in college and I wish I had taken more time to soak some of those things in. And even Ivy, like she's just learning so much. And there was so much time where I'm just like, oh, I worry that you're not going to learn these things. And then she does. And I'm like, wait, what happened to my little baby that was doing these cute little things? And so I wish I had listened to some of that advice. But one thing I wish maybe someone had gotten into my head before I got into my own head of just like, there is no normal or like normal's overrated. You know, you create your own normal. Cause I think some of my anxiety and depression I had, especially those first couple of years, was because I had this, you know, almost fantasy of this normal that I was going to have. You know, when I thought about having kids and having a family, it looked a certain way and nothing about my version of motherhood has looked that way, even with Lily. And then with Ivy, it was just like, this is not at all what I was hoping for. But then you just, I don't know, you learn to create your own normal. And you learn that, like, for the most part, all these things are normal. You know, there's things I go through with Ivy that, like, oh yeah, that's normal for other kids as well that are typically developing. And then there's things where it's just everyone's normal is different. There isn't this fantasy normal that I should be trying to achieve. Or so I wish I had kind of gotten that in my head before I had kids, to just, you know, your kids will figure out what normal is for you. Every kid is so different, and you're really just kind of, you know, I think that I have so much influence on shaping these kids, but really, like, they come out with their own sort of personalities, and you have to learn how to just kind of shape your motherhood around that. So I wish someone had explained that to me a little better.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's great.
I need to hear that. Yeah, like daily. Good.
Yeah.
Now I think about that normal that I envisioned before, and it's like, I really don't think I could handle that now. Like, give me a kid with like a G tube and speech problems, and I have no issues. We could hang all day. But I watched my friend's like 1.5-year-old son, and I was like, what is this monster? I mean, he's like trying to kill himself down the stairs and shoving things in his mouth, and I'm sweating trying to keep up with him. And it's like, we didn't go through none of that. That normal I had envisioned, to imagine it now, it's like, that sounds like a lot of work.
Right.
I'm sure people look at my life and like, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. I'm hesitating on how to phrase this, but like, that's so nice to hear, because I'll feel guilt like thinking about your life and going, oh my gosh, like what right do I have to complain about anything ever? Like my experience as a mother should hands down be easier than yours, which it absolutely is. But it's still refreshing or comforting to hear that someone in your situation can look at just your average toddler and be like, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Like, we didn't go through the putting things in the mouth phase. Like, that's terrifying. I don't know. You know, or just, yeah, there's so much that it's just like, and with Lily, I didn't go through any of that with Lily. I didn't meet her till she was older. And so, like, especially the young, you know, toddler years, I'm just like, this terrifies me with typical developing kids. And I think even in my position, you know, I have a lot of that same thing of like, what? I spend so much time in the hospital and therapies and around other families with special needs, where I'm like, what right do I have to complain about, you know, what our situation is? Like, there are so many more people that have many more difficulties than we do. So I think it's always easy to look at someone else and think like, oh, you know, they have it a lot harder than I do. I shouldn't complain. But I think we can all look at our lives and we all got it hard. I think it's just, parenting is hard all around, no matter what situation you find yourself in.
Yeah. What is the thing that they say a lot right now? It's just like, this is not about parenting, but like, if your life isn't that hard, basically, and then feeling guilty for stressing about what's going on in your own life whenever so-and-so has it really difficult. But everybody has stuff, and where you are is where you meet it. In terms of your faith, you're given what you can handle, and you seem incomparably equipped for your particular beautiful life.
Hey, Mom Cult listeners, did you survive the snow? We sure hope that you did. We also really care that your car survives the snow. And do you know who can help with that? Is Camel Express Car Wash. Because did you know that salt and de-icers have been linked to the corrosion of brake components? And that drivers are advised to wash their cars, specifically the undercarriage of their cars, where road salt has been built up? And Camel Express Car Wash can absolutely help with that. And you can get it done for free. Just text the code MOMCULT to 30400. You can also have access to free vacuums, free air wands, free glass cleaner infused microfiber towels. Say that 5 times fast. And free mat cleaners. So other than the snow, I mean, what's holding you back? Am I right? Visit CamelExpress.com to find your camel today.
Were you about to say something? I think, I'm not sure if that was you.
No, not really. I think earlier I was going to ask, is Lily in college close by, or where is she?
She's about an hour away, all back roads, which she loves. She doesn't like driving on the highway. So pretty close, but far enough that she can have her own independent life.
Yeah. How often does she come home?
fairly often right now. And she was a little bummed. Yesterday was Adam's birthday. And she's like, nobody told me I could have came home, but she's currently rushing for a sorority. So she had told us like, it's kind of on lockdown there for the next couple of weeks. Sometimes she comes home quite often. So tell me, we're like, weren't you just here? Like, that's a lot of gas money for you to just drive back for, you know, dinner or something. But the first week, I mean, we sent her off, you know, she was all ready to go. And then the month before she was like, oh, I'm actually leaving, and became quite sad about it. And so the first week she was home a ton, like everyone was asking me, you know, like, oh, how's it going, mom? Are you sad? And I was like, no, like she's home still. I don't know. Like she's been home three times this week. I just dropped her off. So that's lessened a little bit as she's made some friends. But she likes to come back, and she misses Ivy quite a bit. She's already had Ivy come spend the night with her one night. It wasn't like a family night or anything. She just asked her RA, I want to have my sister spend the night. So she did a little slumber party. So she misses it, and she misses the food. She thinks the food at college sucks. So she comes home a lot to eat. When she was talking about going to like out of state college, that's when I was kind of freaking out of just like, dude, what if your car breaks down? You know, and she's like, I'll call somebody, but who are you going to call? You always call us. Like, what? If there's an emergency, we can't be there. And those kind of things freaked me out. So when she decided to stay in state and real close, that was helpful. But I think too, like her senior year was a little bit stressful. And just like the summer she turned 18 before she headed to college, there was a lot of, I don't think she was doing it consciously and intentionally, but a lot of just kind of exerting her independence, which caused just for a lot of tension. And so that, I think it was just like, we probably could use a little bit of space. And once she left, like it really has improved everyone's relationship, having a bit of space. I think part of that is just, yeah, as when you're home and as a parent, you just are naturally asking like, oh, where are you going? With who? When are you going to be back? You know, you just ask questions, and a teenager that wants to be independent is very much annoyed that you would dare question them. So now she doesn't have all those questions. We don't really know what she's up to until she tells us. So I think that that's helpful because our reactions, both hers and ours, are, you know, they have that time to maybe process. So even if she's, because even when she's home and she's, you know, wanting to talk about her life and drama that's going on, she can easily get upset with we're not giving the right advice or agreeing with her exactly, you know, so then it's just attitude that naturally occurs. Whereas now she can talk about things, and she's already kind of processed through some of her emotion by the time she comes to tell us, and we can, you know, it's just more of a guidance thing than like a helicopter parenting thing. And I think that that's just been helpful, and it really, I feel like, has caused her to be a lot more open. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't really want, I'm not okay with that. I don't know how much I love knowing that this is happening in your life. But she feels secure enough to be like, oh, so these are some decisions that I've made, or calling to be like, guess what I did? And she got her belly button pierced. And you know, so a lot of things are after the fact, like she got to make that decision on her own. And then we're just like, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's better than a tattoo, you know, maybe let's think about, cause she's like, I want to get one. And she was going to have some kid on campus give her one, you know, so trying to still like parent and guide, but ultimately she knows I'm going to go back to college and I will make these decisions, whether you like them or not. And then, you know, the way we're handling it is different than I think when she lived here. So I think it's just been a better year all around for everybody, a lot less tension now that she's moved. So I think, yeah, that kind of helped with not really having this grieving period or being sad that she's gone. You know, she's still so close by, and now, you know, in many ways closer, just kind of emotionally and mentally with us in her sharing things. So it's really kind of been a great experience.
How was Ivy about her leaving?
Ivy misses her very much. She asks about her every day. I'm like, where's Lily? I'm like, she's still at college. For the most part, Lily's pretty good. They've gotten in a habit of Ivy calls Lily before bed, and they do a little video chat. And talk about a few things. So right now it's a little hard with the rush. Lily loses her phone at night, so she can't call and say goodnight anymore. But that is really helpful. Just kind of that consistency and being able to say hi and check in. And then Ivy's just constantly asking, when are you coming back? And then she counts down to the days that Lily comes. So she misses her a ton, but we're adjusting to the new normal, new way of connecting with her.
I love, this is switching gears, but my favorite part of your bio was that Adam started building a retaining wall and then just kept going.
Yes, it's so accurate though. That's what happened. We had no intentions of building this amphitheater at the very beginning. You know, so our property is kind of a unique setup where we had this house and then there's like 3 acres split into two separate addresses. And so the back address, Adam cleared out a lot. We thought about selling it for a while. Then as Ivy began developing and started being able to walk with assistance, you know, the current house we were in just wasn't handicap accessible. So we decided, okay, we've got this cleared lot in our backyard, essentially, let's build the handicap accessible home. So this back lot is up a hill. So we needed to put a retaining wall in to kind of hold that hill up for the driveway. And yeah, it was during COVID when everything was shut down. And Adam is like classic ADHD and he cannot just be sitting. So he was outside like sun up to sundown, just like, I don't know, renting equipment to move dirt around and move rocks. And it looked like a big mess at first. He's such a visionary and I got to see a picture. I can't imagine it. So he's like, oh, I'm going to do like this. And I think I'll do this. And I'm like, okay, sure. But he just kept going, built that retaining wall with these rocks and then decided to like, oh, I think I'm going to do like a layer of grass and then maybe some more rocks. And it just kind of turned into this layered garden area in between the two houses. So technically in our front yard and then in our old house's backyard. And then he was like, oh, we should pour like a patio at the bottom. We could sit down here. And then it was like, oh, maybe we should have electrical and this could be like a stage or something. And so at the beginning, he was not thinking it, but just as COVID continued to keep everything shut down, Adam's just like, you know, if I build a setup for bands to play, like maybe they will come and play here so I can have live music again. So yeah, just kind of this. And it turned out beautiful. Like, you know, he talks about other landscaping things he wants to do, this waterfall in our back hill. And I'm just like, I believe it. You can do it. It'll be amazing. Because I take no credit for that garden. I did not have any vision or even really belief that he could build it into something so beautiful.
We should get a picture of that and post it. So, so pretty.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. So how many people have played on the stage so far?
How many have we had play? Gosh, a lot. We've had quite a few. This will be we just finished our third summer. Yeah. And I'd have to think about, we usually do like 2 or 3 big parties during the summer. Ivy loves it. Ivy is all about it. I mean, she loves music for one. Music is just, she might love it more than we do. Like she's got that from both of us and multiplied within her. Loves the music and loves meeting people. Like she is not shy. She is such a great icebreaker. I'm a little bit more shy. I'm really social. I don't think people probably realize like how internally I'm freaking out because I think I do well to play the extrovert part. But sometimes in my head, I'm just like, you don't know what to say. And Ivy just jumps right in and she has all the questions or, you know, just loves to share about herself. And she's just, yeah, she's a great icebreaker to, I mean, she had one band, you know, we've met them a couple times and I only knew the one guy by his nickname. And then she had a whole list of names that she had typed down that she wanted me to put into her talker. And I was like, who is this guy? He's like, oh, it's me. I was like, you gave her your legal name, like your full legal name because because she's like, what's your name? First and last. And they all gave it to her. And I was what's like, I don't social? Even know that. Yeah. They just hand it out to her, whatever she wants.
I bet she's got everybody's social security numbers too.
Yeah. Ivy's got that all locked away. People need to be careful one day. She's going to figure out how to release all that information.
What do you do for you? What do you do to fill your well?
Well, my faith is a big thing. And kind of the community I have at church, you know, my women's group. There's, you know, a couple ladies I'm really, really close with. And, you know, so if I'm ever really feeling down and it's, you know, I need to really therapy session, I've got some good friends that can give me that faith perspective on things as well. And creatively, I've gotten into, a couple years ago, I bought a Cricut Joy for Mother's Day. It's like a mini Cricut. So, you know, Cricut, like a cutting machine.
No.
Like it can,
yeah, they do like stickers and things, but also a lot of, you can do a lot of stuff. Like on
the clothes, like the big
and
machines.
And, yeah.
Yeah. You can do, I mean, you can cut thin wood or leather and vinyl to put on things, or, you know, things to put on your shirt. There's paper stuff. I mean, there's just a whole list. I've only probably learned a fraction of the things, but I really enjoy making personalized gifts, like especially for Ivy's teachers and therapists. I really want them to know, like, I love you so much and I am so thankful for all your work. And so I really like to put a lot of thought into, you know, especially like our goodbye gifts or end of the year gifts for them. And so I've always like been on Etsy because it's like, well, I want it to say specifically this or have this specific image because it relates to this relative thing, personalized thing. So I got this mini Cricut so that I can do a lot of that myself. So that's been really super fun. I can make cards and all sorts of cutesy little personalized things.
Get me one of those.
Yeah. So, and that brings me a lot of joy to, I don't know, bring that joy to other people. Seeing them. Not that I love making people cry, but like, oh, it's so beautiful. It makes me cry. And then I'm just like, yes.
Yeah.
I love that. That fills my bucket.
Yeah. I do that with like birthday cards. I'll have friends that'll be like, oh God, I don't even want to read Joy's birthday card. It's going to make me cry. Like, yeah.
Yes. Love it. Just fills my bucket when you're emotional over my gifts.
I've been at two weddings where Joy is the officiant and yeah, I can attest that she really just likes to make people cry.
Well, but I have to make people laugh. It has to be both. I want someone to laugh and cry.
Yes.
Well, I want it wrapped up in a nice,
a joyous cry.
Package. Both of those things need to exist for it to be complete.
Yes. Well, I know that you've got to get to an appointment, Des, and I think you need to head out pretty soon. Is that, that's right? Right, right.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Adam. I have a minivan and I don't love it in the winter. So I'm having Adam pick me up to take me to this appointment. Yeah, Ivy has to get her G-tube changed, which we have to do every 3 months, which I'm trained to fully do. I could do it and it could be done and we wouldn't have to leave the house. But Ivy gets, if she goes to the doctor, she gets stickers, which I told her I could give her stickers. You know, I don't know, but something is way cooler about the doctor stickers. And she said they're way faster. And then the doctor kind of gets to be the bad guy, sort of. I still have to hold her down and kind of force her to let it happen. But
Des, thank you so, so much for being, jumping in last minute, first of all, but also just sharing your time and your story and your energy with us. This is wonderful.
Hopefully I got some useful things out of my...
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed
so jabbering. It's great to meet you too. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll have Joy over next time that you're in town.
Yay.
It'll be super fun.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good luck editing.
Bye, Desiree. Yeah, thank you.